Hi, I'm David, and welcome to the Datasaurus Rex podcast, where we interview data visualization experts and get to know them and their data viz a little bit better. By the end, you should learn new skills and get inspired to enhance your own data viz game. Today's guest is Pablo Gomez, and welcome. Thanks for coming on the show. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Cool. So yeah, and Pablo is very talented. He's an ambassador of Tableau, which is very hard to get. And he's also the co-lead of the London Tableau User Group, which is an amazing user group. If you're ever in London, definitely head down there. So before we get to know Pablo and his viz a little bit better, I just want to give a bit of a story. So for those of you who don't know, I've been collecting I've been manually creating every death of Game of Thrones into a database, like who killed who with what, where, and when. And I've been, you know, over the years building out like a little my own visualization just to kind of make sense of the data. And it's been kind of fun. But then I thought, look, this data is pretty cool and interesting. And it's over now, just with the show being over. Why don't I give it to the data visualization community? So I got in touch with Andy Kriebel over at Makeover Monday, and he shared it with his Makeover Monday crew. And over 75 visualizations came back, trying to enhance or improve or just have their own take on the data. And it's been really interesting. And just on a side note, every link we talk about will be in the show notes below. So if you'd like to have a go at this data too, I'll give you a link to data.world. But what gets us on to Pablo is that he made his own viz about around this Game of Thrones data for Makeover Monday, and it was amazing. So much so that I wanted to get him on this podcast to talk to him about it and understand his great work, because he does other good things. But we'll focus on this one today. So Pablo. So welcome to the podcast, and I guess let's just dive in. What was the inspiration for this viz? Like, what made you go all in on this?
Well, thank you, David, for having me in the podcast. The data set was intriguing and interesting at the same time. I mean, it's not often that you can see a data set of a TV show that actually counts the number of people who have died during the eight seasons. So I was intrigued about the data, and basically one of the things, and I have the confession to make here, honestly, is that I did the visualization without even watching a single season of the Game of Thrones. So basically, it was a massive challenge for me, basically to create the visualization. Yes.
Wow, but that's amazing. Just because one, it's so detailed and there's great insights here. But two, I guess it's a great example showing that you don't need to know the data in depth to make an amazing set of insights or story. So you've definitely proved that here. But and I encourage anyone to follow this, because you've kind of, what have we got? We've picked up on the sort of most deadly areas, each region, but you've also focused on the top three killers, who, one of the insights you found, which I thought was really interesting, they're all women, which is kind of cool.
Well, what I usually do, especially with Makeover Monday, every Monday, what I do is I download the data and I start playing with it just to see if I can find any interesting patterns or anything that catches my attention, basically. And one of the things that I found was that, yes, the top three killers of over the eight seasons were women. And I said, whoa, that's interesting. That's a story there. And I said, let's continue working with that. And then the other thing that I wanted to say, to show is, my graphic designer and I, we had this idea of recreating the map of Game of Thrones, and we said, okay, what will happen if we can actually plot each one of the main areas of the series with the deaths? And that's what we started working on, and that's how the actual idea came about.
Yeah, no, it's really beautiful, because as someone who watches the show, I've been like pouring through this for ages, like interacting, going like, oh wait, what happened in the Riverlands or King's Landing? And it's been really fascinating to see, like, you know, again, based around those top killers, where they've actually had the most impact. By the looks of it, you've got it over time as well. So which is just really impressive. Like, Winterfell sees a lot of deaths and then it kind of goes quiet and then it ramps back up. And again, you just made it so accessible. But what I love too is, and I found this to be a case of a lot of vizzes, a lot of them just look pretty, but they don't actually have not just for Game of Thrones ones, just data visualization in general. They don't always have substance, but yours is like, really beautiful, pretty to look at, but it also gives a great story. So like you've ticked both boxes and proved that like this can be done. So I guess we're going to understand a little bit more about your process and some of these other questions I'm going to throw at you. But I guess the next question, actually, we can kind of maybe skip this one. The first one is how did you collect the data? But I guess it's probably a question I could probably answer. But all I'll say is just a lot of hard work. But essentially, I'd watched the episode once just for fun. You know, I still enjoy the show. But then I go back and have a rough idea when there'd be like long talking bits and no one's going to die. And I just have a Google Sheet spreadsheet up and sometimes the Game of Thrones wiki page, just so I could fill in the extra details if I wasn't sure someone's name or location. So yeah, it's just very manual. Sorry guys, there's no machine learning in this one. Yeah, but I thought it was an interesting one.
You did a pretty good job though.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. And I had to set criteria, like, you know, like no undead, because that's just a minefield. I counted animals as weapons, and also it had to be on screen, so there's no like estimates and stuff like that, because, you know, if other people want to do that, that's cool, but I just thought on screen, let's just focus on that, and it keeps it relatively simple, except for a few episodes where I was like, there are so many deaths, I was like, oh my god, that's going to take like the whole weekend. But that's all good. If anyone's interested in more details, there's actually I did an article with Tableau on this collecting the data, so I'll put that link down there below. But let's go back to the viz. So I guess the next question is, yeah, how did you approach the creation of this viz? Like, did you already have a clear idea? Did you sketch it out? Like, what was your process?
Well, like I said, it was a funny story, because I haven't seen, I think I saw a couple of the two or three first episodes of the first season, but I never engaged with the series, honestly. Nothing wrong, it's just I never had the time to watch it. So when they the data set came about, I was just about to say, no, I'm not going to do it. I haven't seen the series. No idea what I'm going to be doing about. And then I started the process that we do, that I usually do every Monday or every week when I participate on Makeover Monday. So what I do is I download the data set, I start looking for patterns or ideas or anything that unusual or anything that it comes into an interesting story within the data set. And then I have a conversation with my graphic designer, the person who works with us. I have an online company, and we do graphic design and all sorts of other digital content. So part of our exercise on Monday mornings is to discuss the data sets. If we are going to be working on Makeover Monday, discuss data sets and any ideas, and we work on mock-ups of how we can actually show the data. So I was talking to him and I said, look, I know you're a big fan of Game of Thrones, so this is going to be my viz, but basically I need your input. I need your help.
right.
Give me a crash course in 5 minutes about Game of Thrones or what we're looking at. And then we had a long conversation about it, and he set off to do what we usually do, which is create different mock-ups or different ideas of what we can use in terms of design elements or color, sometimes fonts and that kind of stuff.
And because I believe, you shared those with me, so I'll make sure those are coming up on screen as you speak. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, I usually tell him, this is the data set, this is the idea, and this is what I want to show. This is the story that I want to show. So I give him like a couple of hours sometimes in the morning, like 2 hours to come up with a couple of ideas, two or three ideas. Because this subject was so close to him and he likes Game of Thrones so much, he came back like 4 or 5 mock-ups, and I shared them with you as well.
Yeah.
So he said, well, this is a modern one, there's a more kind of a medieval one and all the stuff. So we look at different ideas. And when I saw the one that we ended up doing, I said, that's the one. That's the one we are going to go. And then he actually reproduced the map, which then I have to plot in Tableau. So we were working together at the same time in different things. He was creating the concept, the colors, while I was actually learning more about the data and learning more of how we were going to actually present the idea. Halfway through the morning, close, but really into the afternoon already, I said, look, you know what? I just found that the main three killers are women. Should we focus our story on that? And he said, oh, that's great. Let's do that. And I said, I don't want to show the real faces because actually everybody's going to show pictures of them, basically. So say, can we vectorize their images? Can we vectorize their... And the way they look, and he said, yeah, let's do that. So we started working on that, and that's how we ended up with the three images of the main three characters that we focus our story on.
Wow, that's really smart. So you're kind of like working in symbiosis of like design and the insights and the data analysis, and that's a good choice. Yeah, like not using photos, because I think that would have maybe thrown off the overall style you were going for, like hand drawn, like map.
And basically, basically, what we try to do every week is with small details and little touches to make it unique, right? Mm. So that's why when you look at all my visualizations, at the bottom I usually give credit to i4ideas, which is my company. In this case, what he does basically, which is part of the graphic design, and most of the visualizations that I do have our own unique touches. We don't use images or elements that we get from the internet. These are custom designs for the visualizations. Yes.
Cool. Amazing.
And in this particular one, I gave him specific credit, Luis, because he was terrific. He was amazing on that. He was taking me through the whole idea of what we were supposed to show.
Love it. Do you reckon, given his enthusiasm for the show and how much he's done for this, would you consider watching it now, or do you reckon it's spoiled for you because you've seen the data?
It's in my list to watch. Yes, okay. It is.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I even after all the 8 seasons, I still recommend watching it. The journey's good. Yeah, the journey's good. Yeah. But no, that's cool. That's awesome, man. Okay, so next question is, I guess we've already touched upon the, because I'm going to ask you, like, what were the best insights you got from the data? But I guess the biggest one was the female killers. But did you find any other insights which were interesting? Or would you like to speak about this one more?
Yeah. Basically, the three main killers, the three ladies, were the one that stood out the most. I mean, basically, I focus on that because I say, okay, that's the story. And and I have learned over the years with Makeover Monday or many other data sets that you come across is that sometimes you don't have to use the whole data set to tell stories. Sometimes you can just focus on something specific that catches your attention. And that's what we did on this one. And the other thing that caught my attention was the locations. And I remember from reading Lord of the Rings, for example, the books, and The Hobbit, how Tolkien created this whole Middle Earth kind of world where everything's completely new and all the stuff. And I went back to those days when I was reading those books, and I said, okay, this is something similar. Why don't we actually focus on a map that will recreate the Game of Thrones kind of world, basically, and let's focus on that, on those two main points, basically.
That's perfect. And I think that's a great insight of like focusing on a few stories in the data, like important ones, because I kind of, like, I'll be honest with my peers, I was like, I want to show everything because I've put all that time to get all the data, and I want to show every single insight, like weapons, location, people. But then it was a slightly cluttered. I mean, it's more of a functional dashboard, but it's definitely not, there's no clear story in it. But I love that you've chosen to drill down on that. And I think a lot of the better visits I saw in the Makeover Monday stuff coming out of this did focus and hone in on certain key things. There was actually one guy who just had a chart, a simple bar chart going, percentage of people killed by dragons, percentage of people not killed by dragons. And the insight was, stay away from dragons. and I was like, that is beautiful.
That's a good tip, though.
yeah, it is. I would definitely take that to heart. But like, I just, the person who spent days of his life collecting that data was like crying inside, going, oh God, I spent a lot of time and just got that one insight. But I think, again, that's an important thing. You shouldn't get attached to the data if you're like the one creating it. Again, like, you should kind of take that step back and go, doesn't matter how much time or money it's spent to get this data, what are the key insights? So I think that was a lesson I learned by sharing this back with the community, which you've helped me learn remind myself of. Like, you can't get too emotionally attached to the data. You've got to take a step back, find his stories, and just drill into them. And I've always, yeah.
And also, we all have different points of views. We all see different things on the data, and that's one of the things that I love the most about Makeover Monday. How with the same data set, we all see different things. We all see different stories, and that's one of the things I like the most. Honestly, yes.
Yeah, and that's something I was really drawn to Makeover Monday too. There's no one way to crack an egg, right? Like crack a nut. I've just made a new phrase now. but it's kind of true, because like some people think like, oh, it's you just have to do it this one way and that's it. And it's like, no, like, yeah, like there's so many ways and it can all be good. There's a lot of potential to not be as good, but this is how you find out and learn. And I've been inspired by seeing other dashboards and going, oh yeah, I didn't think of doing that. And then you can build that into your repertoire. And I guess, yeah, the more people share and the community helps each other out, the more they learn and grow from each other, which is pretty cool.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's something I've just learned doing this podcast for like more than 10 episodes now. Like the community is so powerful. And I love that how engaged people are, how friendly they are, how generous they are to share their knowledge and just their ideas. So it's really cool to see, you know, this is a shining example of that. So well done. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Cool. Okay, so next question is, so what skills did you learn from doing this project?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I think the skill that I learned that I haven't done before was how to create a node link graph, which is the one showing the three killers on to the different seasons, because it's not a Sankey chart already. Actually, so I had to learn how to create that, and I didn't want to fall into the trap of creating a Sankey chart, because I thought that many people might like to do that, but with a node link kind of a graph, you can pinpoint where you're going to start and where you're going to end, basically.
That was the most
challenging part. So that part of the viz is the one that took me most of the time.
Interesting. So yes. Did you already know roughly how to build these, or did you have to go finding the solution, or what was?
I saw a few tutorials, but it's one of those things that I was waiting for the right moment to actually learn how to do it and to do it.
Yeah.
and when we came about the idea of all this, I said, okay, this is the right time and this is the right moment to do it. So we have three main characters. We have 8 seasons across the series. Hmm. Let's show some sort of path on when these three women actually killed their victims, if we were going to call it that way. And basically that was, I say, okay, this is the right time. Because let's be honest, David, sometimes we all work in data visualization, but it's rare that we have the chance to do this sort of visualizations or this sort of graphs with our clients or on a day-to-day. Yeah. It's more the thing that I like about Makeover Monday or any other project is that you get the opportunity to experiment. Sometimes I must admit they are not the best graphs, or sometimes we're not using the best graphs for different ideas, but you get the chance to experiment. You get the chance to do something you haven't you haven't been able to do before. Basically.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think that's a great thing, like getting outside of your comfort zone, doing something new. And I'm not sure about you, but I also learn better by doing. So like, I'm sure you could have read up on these techniques, but then if you had no way to apply and make them stick in your head and really understand how they work, if you'd read up on that, it might just float it back out of your brain. But I guess you applying them, it's just so much more real and helpful, and it's probably stuck in your head a lot more. So yeah, that's a great benefit. I like that. That's a good skill to learn, and it's also a good lesson to learn that applying techniques you might not normally get to do at work, you've got to expose yourself to those opportunities outside of that. So, yeah.
And another thing that was quite challenging, actually, was that if you look at the whole visualization, there is a background image. There's a background image, and the whole visualization is floating. So there's not one single tile element except for the background image. So everything is floating. Everything is, it has to be in the right correct place and in the right order. So basically, yes, that was very, very challenging
Because they haven't, I don't think they've implemented that grid stuff yet. So you probably have to type the floating coordinates to align them horizontally. Yes. Oh, wow. That's a lot of commitment because there's, definitely quite a few elements here, which you probably had to, align. So,
and if you download the workbook, you will see that there's only one actually element, which is the background, which is placed in the dashboard. The rest, everything else is floating around, basically.
Wow, that's so cool. And I'd encourage anyone to download this too. Again, that's the beauty of Tableau Public and the creators. They're more than happy to allow their workbooks to be downloaded so you can figure out how they've done stuff and learn. So definitely encourage that. I'll be doing the same because these this layout's pretty cool. And I it's really awesome. Nice one. Thank you. Okay. So next question. Oh, so what project is next for you? So I've had a look at your Tableau Public profile. It seems very rich and full of cool stuff. What's next? What are you going to add to that? Or, I'm kind of curious.
I think one of the things I want to achieve is, get to my 100 visits in Tableau Public, which is, I'm getting close. I have 85 at the moment.
Oh, wow.
And so basically all the other things that I have to do is learn more about set actions, for example, and get more into the idea of creating better maps as well. There's something that I need to improve as well. I would really like to learn how to use Mapbox much better, how to work better with maps. One day I'll try to recreate one of Johnny Walker's magnificent visualizations with maps.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yes. Improving those points, basically.
Wow, no, that's cool. And I'm just scrolling through your gallery now, and I just want to click on every one. I'll have to do that after this podcast. But they're all very striking, and if they're the same caliber as the Game of Thrones one, I'm going to spend hours on this stuff. So exciting!
And I always say that Tableau Public is not only a portfolio, but it also shows my development, the way that I actually, since the first moment that I started, and I created 5 visualizations, and they're still there. The first 5 are still there, and I always joke about it, but they're horrible. They're probably the worst 5 visualizations you can ever find. Mm-hmm. But I left them there because it's part of my journey. It's when I started, and one of the main things, things that helped me develop was Make of a Monday and so many other projects that are going around and in the Tableau community, which are great. I mean, to name a few, they're really good.
Excellent. Well, that's cool to see. And that's really, really humble of you because I guess, you want to remind yourself, but where your skills have come from. And yes, it's also a portfolio which your employers or future employers can look at, but they can also see how you've improved as well, which is great. So, definitely another reason to get involved by Tableau Public, Makeover Monday, or just any other data visualization stuff you want to put online for people to see. It can't hurt your career as an analyst or just to show off its development. So that's really good to hear that you're thinking along those lines too.
Nice. Thank you.
Definitely. Okay. So before we get on, next phase of the interview will be some rapid fire questions. So we got to understand the Viz a little bit from Pablo, but we want to get to know about him too, because I want to make sure people understand, all these people making these great visualizations aren't I just want people to understand they're just normal people who just are a bit geeky, a bit inspired, just anyone can do this stuff. So we're going to get to know Pablo a little bit more, but just wanted to, before we jump in, I just want to ask, is there anything else you'd like to promote before we get into that rapid fire question area?
To be honest, I would like to promote 2 or 3 things. One of them is, like I said, is Make of a Monday. I think it's one of the main projects to help people learn and develop, and the community is amazing. Tableau Public, I'm a Tableau Public ambassador. Mm-hmm. And every time I have the chance, I promote Tableau Public. It's great not only to create your portfolio like you were mentioning a couple of minutes ago, but also to learn from other people. There's so many amazing stuff going on there. And you can, some people will allow you to download the visualizations and you learn. I have learned so much from downloading and reverse engineering some of the visualizations that other people have done, which is great. And the other thing is basically do not stop visualizing. I mean, sometimes you bump into data sets like Game of Thrones, for me, have no idea what to look at, but data is data. And don't stop. Don't give up. Just continue every time you can. Just continue visualizing and improving and getting better and better.
Oh, that's very inspirational. Thank you, man. And just before we move on, you've also mentioned your company too. That's I for Ideas. Is that correct?
Yes.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about that too? Because I'm curious.
i4ideas started a few years ago, and basically what we do, there's two parts of i4ideas. One is the data visualization consulting part that I do, and there is another part which is I work with my wife, which is very interesting at the same time. Nice. And we do online content, data design, graphic design as well, and video content. So there's a lot going on in there, a lot of graphic design and going around. So basically, yes, that's what we do. We have worked with the community in many ways in different projects. Yes,
brilliant. No, that's great. It's good to see, you know, data like visualization isn't just, you know, boring charts. It's definitely very closely aligned with, like, yeah, creative design. Like you said, you've got a designer, but also, like, yeah, there's other elements like video, and they're all about storytelling, I guess, in some way, or aiding a storytelling narrative. So it's cool to see you've got that company geared up to tackle all branches of that. So,
and if you can help your visualizations with visual elements or getting the right content into your visualization, I think it's always great to have that as well.
Totally, yeah. Big proponent of using the right visual, or like sometimes an animated GIF or a video, 10 seconds can like speak 1,000 words. It's just using the right one for the job. But yeah, having all of those tools in that toolkit is important. So great to see. Okay, so let's jump in. So rapid fire questions. You can spend as long or as little as you like on them, but
I'm ready.
Yeah, okay, cool. Okay. Love it. Okay, let's dive in. Right, so I ask all my guests this, but we always get an interesting answer each time. Like pie charts, do you love them or loathe them?
Neither love them nor love them. I think in the right context, with the right number of slides, like 4 or 5 maximum, they could be a help. The truth is, in the corporate world, everybody loves pie charts, and we cannot just remove them completely. But use them in the right context, they could help. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Yeah, I think it's always it depends, but I think it's also very healthy. Yeah, just not to have never use these blanket rule for anything. Like, because sometimes you might need it, and you've just got to, you know, you don't want to limit yourself. So, okay, that's good. Yeah. So you're just saying a few, like maybe no more than 5 slices, and it could kind of work.
Yeah. Four, five.
Yeah. But there might be better ones.
5 could be crowded already.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if they're all similar sizes, right? It depends. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Sorry. In the right context, sometimes you can use them. Sometimes better to avoid them.
Yeah, like you say, like if you're like 24%, 26%, and 225%, it's like they're all, yeah. Whereas, yeah, that makes sense. Like, because then a bar would probably highlight it better. But no, that's good to hear. No one's outright said don't use pie charts yet. So just the chances of them being used are quite low. Yeah, love it. Okay. Who or what publications for DataViz do you follow regularly?
Ooh. Loads, and I'm going to get in trouble if I forget one or two or many. Okay. Ryan Slipper, he usually sends an email with an article every Tuesday in the afternoon UK time, and that's something that I follow. My co-leaders of the Tableau user group here as well, I follow all of them. Sarah, David, they're always usually writing. Andy Kribble, of course, Eva Murray. Every week they're usually writing something which is usually interesting. Tableau Tip Tablo Tip Tuesday? Tuesday.
Yes.
Well, TTT, the one that Andy does on every Tuesday, which are great. And mainly, honestly, everything, storytelling with data. I love what Cole does every article she writes as well. There's a lot. Honestly, there's a long list of articles that are people that I follow and that I usually read. Yes.
No, that's more than enough. And I think that's always a tricky question because there are just so many great resources out there. But it's good to hear that, like, you're not going to miss like that one killer one. It's just there are so many good ones. Yes. Having a place to start, like with the list you just given, is great. But that's definitely not the definitive list. So definitely recommend following all those people Pablo's just mentioned. But I'm also sure, like, if they follow you on Twitter or social media, you'll probably be sharing articles too. So that's probably a great place.
That's something that's a good reminder. I don't want to forget we have a blog called Points of Viz, Mark and I. And when I say we, it's Mark Edwards and myself. We started writing. We don't do it very often in the last few months, but every time we have the chance, we write about Tableau, data visualization, the community, and what we like about all the stuff. And that's something that I also read a lot. Well, every article by Mark are really, really good as well. So yes, that's amazing. Definitely something to follow.
Cool. Links, remember everyone, links down below. So go check that out. Cool.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, no worries. Okay, so here's a good one. What is your number one Tableau trick you would give to Tableau newbies?
I think I said one of them. Create your Tableau public account and start downloading visualizations so you can actually learn from them. That would be my number one tip. Two, watch the white spaces on your dashboards or your visualizations. I always say that the visualization has to breathe. There has to be some spaces.
Yeah,
and they have to be constant. Yeah. Don't squeeze everything into one place because it doesn't work. And that's one thing. The other thing I would say, there to use floating elements on a vis. They are great if you know how to use them. So yes, definitely yes.
Totally. And I bet you're a big fan of the transparent backgrounds now on charts, because that's probably been a big enabler.
Love them. Because, I mean, before the transparent backgrounds, we wouldn't be able to do visualizations like the one I did with Game of Thrones. I mean, honestly, it was a game changer in terms of infographics or these sort of bases that you wanted to create. Yes.
Yeah, totally. Like, you've just, I mean, yeah, every floating element you've got is just on top of that image. And if you, in the old days, it would just be like, you'd have to have like a block of color as a background, so these line charts wouldn't appear clear. And yeah, these circles, it would just be, it could still work, but it just wouldn't be anywhere near as beautiful, I guess.
You wouldn't be able to create a visualization with such precision like the one you can do now, basically. And that's mainly because not only you can get transparent elements or vices, but also you can create different layers if you use the right order of your elements when they are floating. And that's something that is very tricky as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
That's a good point. And just a side note, I'm just a bit curious. So this is quite a large image background. Did your designer like heavily optimize it so it wasn't like 5 megabytes or something? Like, was there a bit of considered optimization design there? Or would I have to ask him?
I was actually following an idea of space that we created with Luis, our graphic designer. So we created this idea of the right space that we could use for the visualization. So everything was a kind of tied up to that space. So if you look at the viz, the Game of Thrones title was already there as part of the background. The whole map and the badges, the different land badges are part of the visualization. The background. So we have to tie everything into that space. But one of the things that I would love Tableau to do, honestly, and this is this will be another game changer when you are created this kind of long form visualization, is the possibility to actually be able to zoom in and zoom out. Because sometimes when you create these long forms or this sort of infographics, you need that sort of perspective. You have to step back from the viz and see the whole thing, and you cannot do that at the moment. So what you have to do is download it as an image, open it on your laptop and say, okay, yes, I'm actually doing the right thing. I'm actually using the right spaces and all the stuff. And imagine when you create a viz like this that takes you quite a few hours to do, you end up with a lot of downloaded images.
It's like an extra few steps. I understand what you mean. That's
you're just following the process. So that will be another fantastic thing that Tableau can provide us.
Cool. Well, that's you. You've answered one of the questions coming up, but that's great.
Oh,
I love that.
No,
it's fine. It's efficient. These are more guides, just to enable like better flow. But we'll definitely can dig into that more. But before we get onto that one, what's your favorite chart type, or do you have a favorite chart type?
I do have one, and I still think that bar charts are mainly the most common and the one that you can use for almost anything. But I saw them by Andy Kriebel on how to create rounded bar charts, basically, some time ago, and I fell in love with it. And there are a few of my visualizations in Tableau Public that I'm actually using rounded bar charts. So basically, it's a bar chart, but instead of having the square end, they have a round end. And I just simply love the way they look. And they're very easy to do, and I totally encourage people to go and have a look at Andy's tutorial on how to do it. Very simple, but in terms of design, in terms of the way they look, they're totally different and look much, much better than a normal bar chart.
Yeah, I like that, because they still convey what a bar chart does, like the end of the tip is the value. So, I mean, they just look a bit better. They still do the same job they're meant to do. It's just got rounded, edges. So I've seen those, but I haven't actually seen how to replicate them yet. Are they kind of like a dual axis like bar chart with circles at the ends, or is there something more special?
Ah, okay. In essence, basically what you do is you create a dual axis, and then you convert that onto line, and you basically what you do is it's actually a line, not actually a bar chart. It's a line, a very thick line.
Ah, I see this increase.
That's how it works. It's a very thick line, if you want to call it that way.
Oh, nice.
It's very simple, very easy to do. And once you do it once or twice, you just do it with your eyes closed later on.
Love it. Okay, I'm going to give that a go too. good excuse to give it a shot now. I like it. This is an interesting one. So other than Tableau, what other tools or software have you been using in your data visualization journey?
Well, apart from Tableau Prep, I use quite a lot of Tableau Prep sometimes just to get the right data and the right shape for the viz. And the one that we use quite a lot is Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator. Both of them are key to create the visualizations that we usually do. So massive. They always have to be there. They're part of our tools.
Nice. Wait, you didn't use MS Paint for the map? What? I'm a big Adobe fan. Just anyone who's interested, like, if you can, like, definitely give the Adobe Suite a try, because like once you, like, it's a little bit of an entry curve, but once you get used to it, again, the limit is your imagination, not the tool. I find so. Yeah, once you get used to like Photoshop. Illustrator and that kind of stuff, it's very enabling to like build whatever you want on the page relatively quickly.
And also it's great, especially on Photoshop, you mean the concept of layers and all stuff, so you can create different layers, so you can work in different levels on your image. And I try to apply the same concept to the visualizations, because you can order your floating elements in Tableau when you are actually creating the viz. It's the same sort of concept of different layers in one way or another. for me, at least. Yeah. That's the way I look at it. So, yes, it's the same way of working for me.
Totally. Exciting. Yeah, no, layers are very powerful. I do a similar thing with Google Slides or PowerPoint. Like once you start building up telling that story and you can control what's being seen or focused on that page, Absolutely. Yeah, you really up your data viz storytelling game. It's pretty cool. So it's good to see that layers philosophy, yeah, applying to other tools like Tableau and Photoshop and stuff. So nice one.
Definitely.
Okay, so this is always an interesting one. It shows how old or new people are to Tableau. So what was your first version of Tableau?
I started a long, long time ago, 8.1, moving on to 8.2, right, like 2 weeks after I started with Tableau.
Wow, that's a while ago.
Yeah.
But
And it was it's a funny story. Anyway, I'm going to make it very, very short. I received a phone. It was a Friday afternoon. I received a call from a recruiter saying, Pablo, there is a very interesting opportunity, right? And this company, they're using Tableau as a reporting tool. And while I was on the phone with him, he said to me, have you used Tableau before? And I said, oh, yes, of course. And I was Googling what Tableau was at that point.
Yeah, just to check it out.
So by the end of the conversation, the phone call, I have already downloaded Tableau and started using it. And that's when that was 8.1 at that point. Yes.
Wow, amazing. And I think this is always an interesting point from the show, like using an older version or going in, like seeing all the incremental changes to Tableau must have been pretty cool to see a product where they keep investing and making it better. So it's kind of great to see that. And you probably appreciate, like I saw your face light up when I mentioned the transparent layers and you're like, yes. And you probably wanted that many, many versions ago, but it's good to see it finally came, but just not in version eight, but yeah.
Yeah. It's just that once you start realizing the potential of what you can do, and I have used other reporting and visualization tools as well, but Tableau gives you so much flexibility, so much control of what you can actually do if you know how to do it. So it's great. It's great in that regard. Yeah.
Totally. Again, I've made a video on this. It's one of my favorite things is like that think-do gap. Like you think it and doing it, other tools it takes forever. But with Tableau, the gap just gets really shrunk down once you get to know how to do it. And I love that. Rather than going, I need to do this. And it's like, oh God, how do I even do that in another tool? And you spend 20 minutes figuring out if you can or can't even do it. And whereas Tableau, you're confident you probably can. So
Absolutely.
It's a good message.
Absolutely.
Love it. Okay, so this is the question we've already done, but if you have another one, we can talk about it too. But what is another feature you'd like to see Tableau implement, which they haven't already?
But like I said, that one will be great. And I mean, to be able to zoom in and zoom out, to be able to take distance and perspective from the visualization you're actually creating. That will be one. The other one that I will love, especially when you are creating VSS with lots of floating elements or images that are part of your visualization, is to be able to duplicate. It's a problem every time that you have to bring an image to actually bring that image. So if you were able to click on that little triangle on your box, on your element, say, can you duplicate this element? And that will boom, come back as a second element on your viz. That would be amazing.
I agree. Duplicating anything, even text boxes, because I'm trying to do that sometimes. It's like big pain because like you've got all the formatting done and it's like, oh, I can't copy it. I'd have to just recreate a whole other text box. And it's like,
especially when you have, especially when you can usually use the same sort of formatting of an element. Like for example, yes, you have already placed it in the right place. You have the right font and everything. And then you have to do it all over again with the next one. But if you were able to duplicate, especially like I said, text, for example, that would be fantastic.
Yeah,
you already have the fonts, you already have the color, you have everything. All you have to do is change the content.
Just make it again, yeah.
And that would be great, yes.
Yeah, because that's great. Yeah, because it would just speed up the flow. People could just keep thinking, oh, well, next thing, I'm going to do the next thing, rather than go, oh, no, I have to stop and now think how I'm going to do this I have to repeat the same thing. It's very demoralizing. But yeah, that's a great feature. I'd definitely
And one more I would like to ask Tableau now that we are in the wishing list.
I like this. Bonus. this round.
One more, especially for me, that English is my second language. That I would love to have spell checking. To be able to spell checking system, that would be great.
You know what?
You wouldn't believe how many times I have to go back and republish a workbook because of a spell check.
Yeah, but that's
spelling
amazing.
Error mistake.
Yeah, no, I think I've done the same. Like, I've never even thought about there being a spell check in Tableau, but there totally should be. Like, it can't be that hard. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that's. I would love that too.
I'm not a developer, so
no. Yeah,
that would be fantastic.
I'll have words with them if I can get in touch. So, yeah, but that's a great one. Didn't think of that. That's amazing. Cool. Okay. Oh wow. Okay. So look, we've reached the end of the questions, and we're just finished on time too. So so Pablo, before we sort of leave our listeners or viewers, is there anything else you'd like to maybe raise or mention or discuss in the last few minutes we have left?
No, like. First of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, and I'm really, really happy and glad that you like and the visualization, and many people around the community as well. I mean, the feedback has been amazing since we created. But one of the things that I already mentioned, and I would like to emphasize and focus as well, is don't stop visualizing. I mean, just continue working, continue learning all the time. Create your Tableau public account. Learn from others, download, join projects. Like, there are so many really good projects and that you can join and you can learn from other people. Don't stop doing it. Just
cool.
Encourage everyone just to go there and continue doing it.
No, I love it. There's no better time to start than now, right? And just keep doing it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Very wise words. Yeah. No, thank you so much. Okay, so that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out the show notes for everything we've covered today. And if you're new to the podcast, consider subscribing to stay up to date on all your latest episodes. And also visit datasaurus-rex.com/welcome to see all the other data visualization content we have to help you out. Till next time, thank you very much.
Bye. Thanks.